Good afternoon from Conference House Park in the Tottenville section of Staten Island. On the update this Monday, the wait is finally over. After 3 months of a coronavirus crisis that's been followed by protests and unrest over the death of George Floyd, the city is trying to turn a page when a limited range of industries reopened today. It's an inflection point as the city tries to get back to business. We'll have the latest details. There's a new watchdog report that says that the vast majority of complaints about NYPD's mistreatment of youths stem from encounters with black children. The Civilian Complaint Review Board reports that nearly two-thirds of youth complaints involve children of color, including, quote, many stopped for innocuous activities. Kevin Durant won't play for the Brooklyn Nets if the NBA season resumes. He said in a new interview, "My season is over. I don't plan on playing at all." And congressional Democrats are coming out with legislation to overhaul police accountability. The Justice in Policing Act would overhaul legal protections for police, create a national database of excessive force episodes, and set new standards for police training. This is the update as New York City begins Phase 1 of reopening. Monday, June the 8th, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Monday to you. Brandon Julian here, the host of the Update podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop again at Conference House Park in the Tottenville section of Staten Island. But it is a big day. Very big day. New York City is beginning Phase 1 of the long-awaited reopening. And that, of course, means only a limited amount of businesses can have curbside and in-store pickup. The mayor and governor have both spoken today. The mayor announced that there are new bus lanes coming, 16 and a half miles to be exact, in June, 14th Street. The 14th Street bus will be made permanent. It'll be coming to 149th Street in the Bronx. July will be coming to Highland Boulevard here in Staten Island. And in August, we'll go to Merrick Boulevard in Queens. Mayor also announced that there will be increased service on the Staten Island Ferry in Phase 1. 20-minute service during the rush hours, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. And there will be 30-minute service, 6:30 to 7 a.m., 6:30 a.m., 5:30 a.m. to 6 a.m., I should say, on weekdays, at 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. on weekdays, and also 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on weekends. He also announced alternate side parking will be suspended through June the 21st. The governor, meanwhile, announced that New York City is eligible again for elective surgeries and ambulatory care. That being said, there is still lots of news to get to this Monday, including the latest coronavirus developments. After 3 months of a coronavirus crisis that's been followed by protests and unrest, the city is trying to turn a page when a limited range of industries reopened today. It's an inflection point as the city is trying to get back to business. Its first steps of recovery come as the virus continues to circulate amid the demonstrations over George Floyd's death, racism, and police brutality. Construction, manufacturing, wholesalers, and previously non-essential retailers can resume work today with restrictions. Shops can reopen for delivery and pickup, though they can't yet have customers browsing around inside of the stores. Of course, thousands of people marched through the city streets again yesterday to protest racism and police brutality. But after a peaceful weekend, the city appeared poised to begin a march back toward normalcy after 3 months of quarantines and nearly 2 weeks of civil unrest. The mayor, of course, announced an early end to an 8 o'clock curfew that had been set to remain at least through 5 o'clock this morning, with officials planning to lift it at the same time that the city was to begin reopening after shutdowns because of the virus. Some of the marches took on a celebratory feel, and tensions between demonstrators and police were noticeably eased. here's a new watchdog report that says that the vast majority of complaints about the NYPD's mistreatment of youths, it stemmed from encounters with black children. The Civilian Complaint Review Board reported today that nearly two-thirds of youth complaints involved children of color, including many stopped for, quote, innocuous activities. The report highlights several instances of racial profiling at a time when thousands of New Yorkers, of course, are calling for police accountability in the wake of George Floyd's death at the hands of Minneapolis police. The NYPD said that it's following recommendations, its recommendations, to prevent, quote, over-policing of minority youths. The calls for police reforms, they've been gaining momentum as leaders in the city where George Floyd died are pushing to dismantle the entire department. Floyd's death sparked nationwide protests demanding, of course, a reckoning with institutional racism and sometimes resulted in clashes with police. But many officers took a less aggressive stance over the weekend when demonstrations were overwhelmingly peaceful. 2 weeks after Floyd, a black man died after a white officer pressed a knee on his neck for several minutes. A majority of the Minneapolis City Council vowed to scrap the 800-member agency. City Council President Lisa Bender said yesterday that efforts, quote, at incremental reform have failed, period. And out west in Buffalo, prosecutors there say that two officers have now been charged with assault after a video showed them shoving a 75-year-old protester. Both have pleaded not guilty to second-degree assault on Saturday. The two officers had been suspended without pay on Friday after a TV crew captured the confrontation the night before near the end of protests over the death of George Floyd in Minnesota. The footage shows a man approaching a line of helmeted officers holding batons as they cleared demonstrators. Two officers pushed the man backward and he hit his head on the pavement. Blood spilled as officers walked past him. The governor praised, Governor Cuomo, I should say, praised prosecutors for moving quickly to charge the officers. There is other news of this Monday to address, and we will address those when the update with Brian and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
What can I possibly do to make this stressful time a little better? Here's one thing I found. It's a small thing, a simple thing, a remarkable thing. Smile. You can share a smile from more than 6 feet apart. You can share it socially with the whole world. In fact, right now, I'm smiling at you. And I hope you're smiling back, because smiling is in you, from PassItOn.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Monday. In the state capitol in Albany, outdoor graduation ceremonies with up to 150 people are going to be allowed here in New York as pandemic restrictions continue to be loosened. The governor announced yesterday that high schools can start planning socially distanced graduations beginning on June 26th. The virus killed 45 people in the state back on Saturday. It was slightly up from 35 on Friday, but still down from a peak of more than 700 per day in April. Cuomo said that 781 people tested positive for the virus on Saturday, about 1% of the more than 60,000 people who were tested. That's the lowest number since March 16th. The city is opening, of course, phase one of reopening today, and the rest of the state is either in or near entering phase two. On a late Friday afternoon, there is joy and fraternity found on a blocked-off street in Manhattan's Hell's Kitchen section. Neighbors chat, dogs get acquainted, and above all, there's laughter. After 3 months of sheltering in place, the scene of normalcy is still not commonplace as the city is testing the waters of socializing within the prescribed limits. Steve Grillo lives on the blocked-off street and is a walking advertisement touting his West Side community. Grillo says the neighbors came because everyone wanted to help the business owners who were suffering. He said, quote, good people find good people. The pandemic has made us bond even more. They are battle-scarred, but they are definitely resilient. They are the class of 2020, born in the wake of the 9/11 terror attacks and coming of age in another tumultuous time. The Associated Press spoke with and photographed several graduating high school seniors to talk about where they've been and where they're going. Some of them have experienced other traumatic life events, from the loss of a parent to natural disasters and life amid gun violence. They've been pegged by some as spoiled or coddled. But having made it through a Great Recession, gun violence, devastating natural disasters, and now a pandemic amid the nationwide protests over police killings, they say that they are resilient and they are ready for the challenges ahead. The New York Times, they now say that it's editorial. Excuse me. Let's try that again. The New York Times says its editorial page editor has resigned in the wake of outrage over the publication of an op-ed by a Republican senator who advocated using federal troops to quell protests. The paper announced yesterday that James Bennett had resigned, effective immediately. Bennett had defended publishing the controversial Send in the Troops op-ed last week, but admitted to staffers that he had not read the piece before it was published. The piece caused a moving revolt among Times journalists, with some saying it endangered black employees. Some staff members called in sick on Thursday in protest, and the Times said a review found that the piece did not meet its standards. And finally, back in the state capital in Albany, the governor said that the state's recovery from the pandemic is moving faster than expected, allowing him to loosen some restrictions on gatherings in houses of worship. The governor announced on Saturday that religious buildings will be allowed to operate with 25% of their usual capacity once the region of the state they are in reaches phase two of his reopening plan. The rest of the state, except for the city, is either in phase two of loosening restrictions or they will enter it within the next few days. COVID-19 killed 35 people in the state on Friday, still down from a peak of more than 700 per day in April. Time for us to step aside for a moment when we return on the update this Monday from Conference House Park in the Tottenville section of Staten Island. We'll help you get around with the MTA Essential Service Plan. We're going to talk some sports, including how Kevin Durant won't play for the Brooklyn Nets if the season resumes. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history. And then we will address the latest national news, including how the German government is calling on people attending anti-racism protests to stick to the social distancing rules. We will address that and more when the update of Brandon and Julian OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
Pass it on.
Now's the time to stay apart. Social distancing. But I'm adding something else. Pull together. What's pulling together while we're staying apart? It's calling family to check in on them. It's waving to your neighbor. It's the things we should have been doing all along. And when this tragedy passes and we're able to come together, we'll be stronger than ever because we've already pulled together. Stay apart. Pull together.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
From New York City, it's after 10 a.m. Do you know where your boyfriend is? This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for traffic and weather together.
Just a reminder that the subway is for essential trips only. When you ride, you must wear a mask or covering that protects your nose and mouth. Do not touch the mask before you wash your hands. With all the B, W, and Z trains returning, there's still no service on the Grand Central Shuttle due to the accessibility project continuing through 2022. Use the 7 or the M42 bus on the street level. And the subways close every night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. for cleaning. Alternate info at mta.info/overnight.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the Sports Update.
Let us talk some sports on this Monday. We all know the roar of the crowd has long been a staple of major sports and has also been a clear advantage for the home team. When the virus risk wanes through enough to allow games to begin at home, the very essence of these events will be missing for at least a while. Players in all leagues have expressed their hesitance to lose the on-site fan support that they've trained to thrive on. Instead, many of them have remarked that they must rely on the creation of their own energy. And finally, Kevin Durant says that he won't play for the Brooklyn Nets if the NBA season resumes. In the Undefeated on Friday, Durant said, quote, "My season is over. I don't plan on playing at all. We decided last summer when it first happened that I was going to wait until the following season. I had no plans of playing at all this season." Durant ruptured an Achilles tendon a year ago for Golden State in Game 5 of the NBA Finals against Toronto. He also has had COVID-19 this year. When we return on the update this Monday from Conference House Park in the Tonville section, we'll talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including other developments. Tropical storm Cristobal has weakened into a depression after inundating coastal Louisiana and getting up dangerous weather among most of the Gulf Coast. We will address that and more when the update of Brandon Julian OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Hi. I'm Amine. Sometimes starting a conversation with a friend about mental health can feel awkward, but your support can make a huge difference. You know your friends best, so if you feel like something's wrong, trust your instinct and reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Paging Common Sense. Is there any common sense left in the room? This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, OTR. Podcast exclusive, of course, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, Conference House Park in the Tottenville section. We were out here yesterday. Many people are excited because it is, of course, phase one of New York City's reopening. That means more ferry service, more bus service. But for me, it means the return of an old friend. Yes. Yes, it means the return of the B train. We all know the B train was suspended back in March when the essential service plan started, and I've been missing it. It's tough with this when the C train is the only train running down Central Park West. I haven't ridden on it yet, but I am giddy with anticipation of. when I get to ride the train later on this afternoon. Let's talk about what happened on this day in history for this June the 8th. The highlight of his day came in 1967 when, during the six-day Middle East War, 34 American servicemen were killed when Israel attacked the USS Liberty, a Navy intelligence gathering ship in the Mediterranean Sea. Israel later said that the Liberty had been mistaken for an Egyptian vessel. In 1845, Andrew Jackson, the seventh president of the United States, died in Nashville, Tennessee. In 1864, Abraham Lincoln was nominated for another term as president during the National Union Republicans Party convention in Baltimore. In 1867, modern American architect Frank Lloyd Wright was born in Richland Center, Wisconsin. In 1939, Britain's King George VI and his consort, Queen Elizabeth, arrived in Washington, D.C., where they were received at the White House by President Franklin D. Roosevelt. In 1966, a merger was announced between the National and American Football Leagues to take effect in 1970. In 1968, authorities announced the capture in London of James Earl Ray, the suspected assassin of civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In 1972, during the Vietnam War, an Associated Press photographer took a picture of a screaming nine-year-old girl, Phan Thai Kim Phuc. That's Phuc, in case you thought I cursed on air, as she ran naked and severely burned from the scene of a South Vietnamese napalm attack. In 1978, a jury in Clark County, Nevada, ruled the so-called Mormon will, purportedly written by the late billionaire Howard Hughes, was a forgery. In 1995, U.S. Marines had captured Captain Scott O'Grady, whose F-16C fighter jet had been shot down by Bosnian Serbs back on June 2nd. Also, Mickey Mantle received a liver transplant at a Dallas hospital. However, the baseball great died 2 months later. In 1998, the National Rifle Association elected actor Charlton Heston to be its president. In 2009, North Korea's highest court sentenced American journalists Laura Ling and Yuna Lee to 12 years hard labor for trespassing and hostile acts. The women were pardoned in early August 2009 after a trip to Pyongyang by former President Bill Clinton. And in 2018, celebrity chef, author, and CNN host Anthony Bourdain was found dead in his hotel room in eastern France in what authorities determined was suicide. When we return on the update this Monday from Conference House Park in the Tottenville section, we will address the latest national news, including how congressional Democrats are coming out with legislation to overhaul police accountability. We will address that and more in the update with Brandon Julian OTR, podcast exclusive also on via WKRB Mixcloud channel. Returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
They say singing can help you remember things, so here's some tips for parents out there during these tough times.
Number one.
Make sure your kids wash their hands for 20 seconds after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside.
Two.
Virtual playdates, social and physical distancing can help save lives.
Three.
Tell them they're safe and show your love and pride. Yes, we'll get through this together.
Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Notice lately how empty everything is? Empty streets, empty stores, empty schools. But I'm trying to change these empty times by being full of gratitude. Gratitude means saying thanks to the garbage collector, the medical providers, and all those who are helping every day. Things may appear empty around us, but when we're filled with gratitude, nothing is completely empty inside us. Gratitude is in you. From PassItOn.com.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to the Update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's stop, again, Conference House Park in the Tonville section, as New York City is beginning phase one of its long-awaited reopening. Let's address the latest national news on this Monday. And overseas, the German government is calling on people attending anti-racism protests to stick to coronavirus distancing rules. At least 15,000 people demonstrated in Berlin and 25,000 protested in Munich on Saturday as part of the global demonstrations against racism and police brutality that followed the May 25th death of American George Floyd. In some cases, protesters were closely packed together despite German requirements for people to stay 5 feet apart, or 1.5 meters. Chancellor Angela Merkel's spokesman, Stefan Siebert, said today, "It's good to come out with a, quote, clear statement against racism." But he said too many protesters ignored social distancing and created, quote, "a big risk for themselves and others." In other news, down in New Orleans, tropical storm Cristobal has weakened into a depression after inundating coastal Louisiana and getting up dangerous weather along most of the Gulf Coast. The storm sent waves crashing over Mississippi beaches, swamping parts of an Alabama island town, and spawning a tornado in Florida. In Alabama, the bridge linking the mainland to Dolphin Island was closed to regular traffic. Now the worry is drenching rain in the Mississippi River Basin, as Cristobal's remnants now move north on a path to Canada. All that water is a new test for the pumping system that struggles to clear the streets of New Orleans. In Washington, congressional Democrats are coming out with legislation to overhaul police accountability. The package expected today is in response, of course, to the mass protests nationwide over the death of George Floyd and other black Americans during interactions with law enforcement. The Justice in Policing Act would overhaul legal protections for police, create a national database of excessive force episodes, and set new standards for police training. The Associated Press obtained a draft outline of the package. The draft document says the proposed legislation would revise the federal criminal police misconduct statute to make it easier to prosecute officers who are involved in misconduct, quote, knowingly or with reckless disregard. And finally, down in Baltimore, more ballots have been counted and the lead has switched in the Baltimore mayoral race. City Council President Brandon Scott now leads former Baltimore Mayor Sheila Dixon by nearly 400 votes in the city's Democratic primary. News outlets report that Scott has gained a 0.3% edge against Dixon. But the Baltimore Sun reports that officials have yet to count nearly 18,500 votes in the race, and still more ballots could arrive. Other returns, a report updated last night, shows state delegate Nick Mosby with 41% of the vote in the Democratic primary race for Baltimore City Council president. Our thought for today is from Robert Nathan, an American author and poet. Born in 1894 and died in 1985, our thought for today is, love hath no physic for a grief too deep. I will let you guys ponder on that, as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. Monday, June the 8th, 2020. That is the update on this Monday from Conference House Park in the Tottenville section of Staten Island. I'm Brandon Julie. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and be well. We're out at Alice Austin Park tomorrow, and I hope that you can join me then.